Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, August 6th, 2021. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside Forbes 30 under 30, aka the second best baby blues in San Francisco, aka the verified one at Tim Geddes.
Let's him host Greg. That was such a good sound because it wasn't just the pop, but it was like the wind up to the pop had this nice little like warping sound. So
yeah,
shout out
yeah.
to that. What a great way to start a Friday.
I've been on this, I don't know if you know this, just life is constantly being tired. And as you know, Tim, I moved in San Francisco. So I've moved away from the place where I got my Busan kick all the time. So at the new grocery store, I went and bought a variety of different iced coffees, cold brews, ready to go. So now we're trying the Chameleon Organic Cold Brew, right?
Okay.
See if this black coffee with the chameleon on it will give me the kick I need to make sure I don't fall asleep in the middle of a show today. Tim, how are you?
Just in case. I'm doing fantastic, man. Had a great wake up this morning because yesterday did the show with Tam. Obviously, Tim Tam Thursdays, baby.
Yeah, of course. Let's go. Everyone knows it.
Had a great time, but then we realized that we don't really have the best ways of communicating with each other. And we usually just like, it's go time for the show, and we just go.
Yes.
So before I was like, hey, I don't have your number. Like, give me it. Then we'll at least have that, right? Because otherwise, we're just like Twitter DMs. Those aren't fun to deal with. They're a mess, right?
Right.
So gives me his number. I text him, and in all caps, I just said, it's Tim. And I was like, cool, great. You know, that's how modern people exchange phone numbers and identities. Is just like, yeah, boom. He didn't respond, didn't do anything. This morning, he just responds in all caps, it's Tam. And it was the first thing I saw when I woke up. And I'm just like, I fucking love this guy. I love him so much because I know he waited. I know he did that on purpose. I'm like, I'm going to text him tomorrow with this shit. And it's just the little things. It's the little things. You know,
you got to have fun out there.
You got to have fun out there.
You could easily sit here and be like, life sucks, X, Y, and Z. These are the problems, right? But if you sit there and you say, I'm going to have some fucking fun.
Yeah.
You can power through it, right? And hopefully
get a Tam in your life, man.
Get a Tam in your life. Now, here's the problem, of course, Tim. You would have had his number a long time ago if you would just play Marvel's Avengers and join the Marvel Avengers text thread we have going. We so talk about all the updates there, and we have a lot of fun.
So dumb. Crazy.
What was that, Kevin?
You're crazy. You're crazy.
I'm crazy.
To even bring that up to Timothy.
I'm crazy.
Yeah.
Kevin, what I want to let you know is that I got a Slack from Joey Noel yesterday in an official capacity at 3:36 that just says, FYI, we're now referring to Kevin as the Shweddy King. What the fuck is that all
Shweddy
about?
King, yeah. Shwed. It's my new word for cool.
What the French means made cool it up. In French, according to Kevin.
Trey Shweddy. Oh, I like this a lot. I thought this was something that Joey was trying to insult you with. This is great.
Yeah, see, Kev is trying to do the end
I'm
of 8 Mile
I'm owning
Eminem
it.
Thing of just like using it against himself. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Do you not know what I mean?
I mean, I saw 8 Mile once and I enjoyed it, but I don't remember.
I never saw it.
Tim's never seen it.
So is this a reference to how he called himself Rabbit? Because everybody calls him Rabbit.
Yeah, he's kind of owning the thing that he's trailer trash and all that shit. And it's like, yeah, what are you going to say against me if I'm already saying it myself? So hence Kevin, the Shweddy King.
Sure. Growing up, a kid called me Mole, but I never used that. I never tried to lean into that.
No, he just cried.
I know we're going long here in the dumb bullshit before we get to the video game news, but I just
you're right there. Video game news, Tim. Let's talk about Jeffrey Grubb saying that Dead Space will be here sooner than we think. Niantic apologizing to angry Pokemon fans, and holy shit, did Blizzard suck / maybe still sucks. We'll talk about all this and more because this is Kind of Funny Games Daily, each and every weekday on a variety of platforms. We run you through the nerdy video game news need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. Patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Over on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, you can write in to be part of the show. You can get the show ad-free. You can get the show with the exclusive post-show we do. And you can catch shows like the Kind of Funny Gamescast and the Kind of Funny Podcast recording live as we record them. Of course, if you have no bucks to toss our way on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, no big deal. You can watch us record the show live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Over on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames, you are watching live just like hard to find is. S. Paul or Spalls 2714 is. Alex 1342 are. If you're watching live, you have a special job. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. Tell me what I screw up and what Tim screws up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening on podcast services around the globe each and every weekday. Housekeeping for you. The Suicide Squad is here, and that means DCEU in Review is happening today. You can catch the live ad-free recording on patreon.com/kindoffunny at 3 p.m. Pacific, but it'll be on YouTube and podcast services as soon as possible after that, Timothy.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Are you excited?
Oh, that's true. Oh, yeah, dude. Can't wait to talk about
lots to talk about in that movie. Oh, I'll tell you what. Thank you to our Patreon producer, Blackjack. Today, we're brought to you by DoorDash and Honey, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news. Yeah. Seven items on the Roper Report.
Baker's dozen.
So far, the chameleon's getting it done. I won't lie to you, all right?
There's chameleons about, are cool, man.
There's something about coffee that comes, the iced coffees that you get out of like the grocery store refrigerator, right, that hit way harder than a cup of coffee.
Oh, yeah.
If I have something to prove. Coffee, I could be ready to be like a narrator. I could be narrating a documentary. I could be a professor in class. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But when I drink the iced coffee, I'm a madman. I am the electricity gremlin in Gremlins 2 that Billy uses through the phone to electrocute the gremlins at the end of Gremlins 2. I'm sorry for the Gremlins 2 spoilers. That's me. Do that. Corey, sound. I'm going to do it again, Corey. You animated into the gift of the end of Gremlins 2. Right? That's electricity, Greg, you have shooting through all the other gremlins, all right?
Greg Miller killing the sound game today, just got to say. First, it was the once you pop, you don't stop, and now you got the freaking most spot-on gremlin electric sound I've ever heard.
ASMR Greg is here today to tell you all the news you need to care about. Number one on the Roper Report! Are we getting the Dead Space remake next year? That's what might be happening, according to one Jeffy Grubb. That's right, Jeff Grubb, over at GamesBeat. We join his report in progress. Electronic Arts is really making that Dead Space game that fans wanted. The game is going simply by the name Dead Space. And as I previously reported, that represents developer EA Motive's desire to remake the original game while also rebooting the franchise as a whole. And fans should get the chance to experience the results of those efforts when Dead Space launches in fall of 2022, according to sources familiar with development. This means that the game is a little bit more than a year away. Of course, in the tumultuous games industry, target dates slip frequently. And I'm telling you what, it's sweaty. The coffee is sweaty, and it's making me sweaty and loose over here, all right? I got all the little nuts and bolts on Greg. They're vibrating. It's the end of the week. I'm exhausted, and I'm just doing the best I can to keep it on the tracks here, but I'm having fun.
Choo-choo.
Choo-choo. Of course, in the tumultuous games industry, target dates slip frequently. And it's important to note that EA has not yet publicly stated or confirmed release timing for Dead Space. I, Jeffy Grubb himself, reached out to EA for comment, and a spokesperson for the publisher provided the following statement. Quote, we haven't shared a release date for the game, but we don't have, we don't have any comment based on the current rumor and speculation, but we're glad people are excited for the game, end quote. But internally, EA is expected to launch Dead Space during its fiscal year 2023. So we won't see that in its fiscal guidance until early next year. But by then, we will likely have heard more from the publisher about this game. The company does have some intentions to reveal more of Dead Space before the end of 2021. That could take the form of a trailer dropping on the company's YouTube page, or maybe it's another candidate to show up at the Game Awards in December. At that time, it's possible EA could give a release date, although that might go against current trends. Many publishers are keeping final release dates quiet until much later in the marketing cycle. This is due to the pandemic making a tough business even more uncertain. But it's also because publishers are seeing little downside as games continue to sell, even if customers have to wait to the last minute for release specifics. For example, Nintendo didn't announce Mario Golf Super Rush until February, and it sold more than 1.3 million copies in 5 days in June. Timothy Robert Geddes, are we going to get Dead Space in fall 2022?
I mean, I definitely think that's the plan, given the state of the world and how we haven't gotten many video games to hit the dates that they're given or planned for. Probably not, but if things get a little bit better and a little bit more under control, I do think Dead Space, this type of remake, is the type of game that I would expect on the earlier side than the later side if the world situation wasn't a factor. But it is. So I think that I'd expect this to be targeted for September 2023. And then...
Yeah, get that Halloween timing.
Yeah. And then maybe it gets pushed back to November. But if it gets further than that, I think they would just punt it to 2024.
I'm with you, of course, but I'll go one step further and tell you this is Greg Miller's lock of the week. All right. There's not a chance in hell Dead Space launches in fall 2022.
Yeah.
I'm right there.
Push all my dates back 1 year. I misspoke. I don't know what fucking year it is. I meant 2022, 2023, not 23 and 24.
I understand what you meant. There's not a chance. And I think I'm right there with it. I think this is very much the Horizon conversation where I think they have every intention of trying to launch this in fall 2022. That's the guideline, the roadmap they're on, yada, yada, yada. I think, as we've seen with just about every game, especially games that don't have a release date or a window, they specifically didn't put that into their announcement trailer at EA Play, right? I just don't think you'll ever see that actually materialize in fall 2022. I'd love to be wrong. I love Dead Space, as you know. I am the Halloween king. I'd love a good spooky game to play come that time, but we'll have to wait.
Yeah. Now, so here's the thing. Like, I am not a scientist and I'm not a game developer. Those two things are two of the strongest facts about myself, okay? But I am a consumer of this stuff and I pay attention to when things are announced and when things are released, et cetera, et cetera,
et cetera.
And when you look at things like the Resident Evil 2 remake and 3 remake that are very similar to this Dead Space project, right? In idea and concept. In fact, it seems like from everything we know, the Resident Evil is a lot more even than Dead Space because it was kind of changing even the style of game. Whereas this looks like it is more of a close to one-to-one Dead Space remake with minor changes or like different types of changes that aren't changing the genre, right, of gameplay. And we got RE2 announced at E3 and it came out 6 months later. RE3 even less of a lead time where it's like it was Game Awards or not Game Awards, the December PS State of Play, and then it was like 4 months later the game came out. So it's like with this, I can see that being a similar situation where it's like they didn't put a date, but internally and just where the project is actually at, I can imagine that this will be a lot further faster than other game titles.
Okay. I want to believe. I like that idea. You know what I mean?
I mean, especially you just got to think about it. Like a lot of it's already done. Story's done, right? Like the there's a lot of, I don't know if they're using the same audio or going back and changing some stuff, but there's a basis, right? It's like changing is different than having to create from scratch. So it's like, there's a lot of kind of one-ups that they have going into this. And a really cool thing that also was coming out today that I think has been in a blog post for a while, but people are just talking about it today, is that the Dead Space remake will be a fully unbroken experience like God of War. So it's all going to be one shot, which is fucking awesome and so perfect for Dead Space. Like those are the type of enhancements that I think are really going to make this a worthwhile remake and something special that stands on its own in 2022 or 3 or whenever it comes out, and being something that like we're gonna look at like, thank God this happened, even though Dead Space isn't that old of a game.
Sure.
You know, I think it's really going to recontextualize a classic. So this type of thing, like that Dead Space has always been cinematic. To give it that extra level, I think is going to go a long way. And I also think that while that unbroken experience adds a lot of technical issues, it also kind of limits you a little bit for what you can do and how crazy you can get. So I think that if they have a strong direction for that stuff and a good team working on it, which I have full faith that they do, knowing what Motive has done in the past, I have faith that this might be a simpler production than what it could have been if it was just a full-on all-new Dead Space game.
Sure, that works, and I think, you know, I am, you know, infinitely excited for this. Number one, I mean, for two reasons. Number one, I'm a huge Dead Space fan, so getting to go back for this is great. And then on top of that, the fact that the Callisto Protocol is happening over there from Striking Distance, right? Which is Glenn, who is one of the people who made Dead Space. So it's like we're getting a modern thing. So even if Dead Space plays it smaller, tighter, which you were talking about the handheld camera, right? That is what I would think they're leaning into. I think what it would be too, if you've never played, right? It is scary. It is, you know, you're just trying to get through that door, but there's a body on the ground. And is that a necromorph? And you don't know. If you brought that experience, you ground that experience, especially with that camera, you weight that experience where your boots on the ground and you are tight. It feels survival horror, but then learns from all the things we've learned about survival horror and action games since then. And also the, you know, the pros and cons of Dead Space 1 to Dead Space 2, Dead Space 2 to Dead Space 3, and try to apply all that, let alone modern 2021 game design to it. Totally. I think it could be something really special, even though it is going to be a remake of something before, and then to see what with the Callisto Protocol happens from there. I can't wait for that. But question for you on top of that, Tim, is the master of hype, you know, is Snowbike Mike, but you love critiquing the hype, critiquing the shows. The Game Awards in December, do you think this is a trailer there?
I honestly hate this place that we're in for the last 2 years for so many reasons, but when talking about what you just asked me, I hate that it's almost silly to make predictions this far out because so many things can change, and it's like what I expect now is like I might not even expect a month from now, right? Having said that, why not? Like, Game Awards has only gotten bigger and bigger and bigger in terms of like the pull that it has and the understanding it has in the industry as being this important event that everybody can come to and like have some bangers. And they're in a lot of ways, I kind of feel like the Game Awards are becoming the thing that developers and publishers are looking at like they used to look at E3 when there's that competition level. And I don't think we've hit critical mass on that yet, but with how much of a mess E3 Summer Game Fest, like all of the stuff has been of like, you know, there's been some fine tuning and like trying to get back on course, but I think Game Awards has stayed on a course over the last 10 years of just getting better and better and better, when there's been setbacks and you know, things in the way like the pandemic. But I can imagine that the first Game Awards back live in audience, like Jeff's going to want to go as hard as possible. And I think devs and publishers are going to want to go as hard as possible. And if the Game Awards are in person at the end of the year and they get to go as hard as they want to, that means that the world is going to be in a better place than it was. So hopefully that means games are in a better place.
Makes sense to me. Number two, let's jump off of that. Where is the world? Are we in a better place? We'll go to number two. Pokemon Go has responded to some angry fans. This is Jared Moore over at IGN.com. Niantic has issued a response to fans over complaints surrounding the company's decision to reduce the in-game extended range feature for Pokestop interactions in Pokemon Go. The developer says it will form a committee, consult with community members, and deliver a further response by September. Fans have directed anger at Niantic after it reverted pandemic-related changes to the game, most prominently the distance at which Pokestops can be interacted with. For a game that prides itself on its community-based gameplay and the size of its fan base, the company had been silent over the issue for some time, leading to a widely shared open letter from players. Niantic has finally offered a response to the community, which was published on the studio's blog. In the response, Niantic explained that its decision to revert the interaction distance from 80 meters back to 40 meters was made because it wants, quote, people to connect to real places in the real world and to visit places that are worth exploring, end quote. Niantic then went on to say that it has heard the community loud and clear surrounding the changes to the Pokestop gym interaction distance. The studio acknowledged the concerns raised by the community before explaining what further action it would take. The team said, quote, we are assembling an internal cross-functional team to develop proposals designed to preserve our mission of inspiring people to explore the world together while also addressing specific concerns that have been raised regarding the interaction distance, end quote. As part of the process, Niantic said, quote, we will also be reaching out to community leaders in the coming days to join us for this dialogue. This will take place before the studio shares its findings by September 1. It is unclear at this stage what proposals could be implemented into the game or to what degree these will satisfy the community. However, fans of Pokemon Go will be hoping that community leaders' concerns are listened to and addressed sooner rather than later. The increased interaction distance feature was introduced last year as a way to allow the community to keep playing Pokemon Go from the safety of their homes during COVID-19's pandemic. The in-game feature improved player safety and accessibility within the game and has been praised by the community and creators alike. Fans of the title took to the social media a full force asking Niantic to reconsider removing the feature from the game. Timothy. That sucks. This sucks.
I think the positive way to look at this is like they're trying to have the dialogue and trying to have the conversation. 100%. We'll see where this ends up. Like I don't think that there's a side that I side on of right and wrong when it comes to this, but I don't think clear.
What's the right and wrong for you?
Well, just in the sense of like there's a big pandemic going on right now, and it's like we should not revert the things that are trying to prevent it. Like, in my opinion, I think when it comes to Pokemon Go, and I could be totally off on this, but I don't think that Pokemon Go itself is actually really causing that much risk to people with the difference between the 40 meters and 80 meters. But I do think it's more of a message to the people, like a message to the public of like, hey, we should take this a little more seriously. And like, I just think that this might be a little bit premature to do this change for something that – as somebody that doesn't play this game, doesn't interact with it, doesn't seem like something that needed to be changed now. Like, they could have just waited a little longer and until things aren't spiking left and right in different places. And also, I do need to give some context of where I'm coming from, where I'm in San Francisco and I feel safe being outside. Like, I know how high the vaccination rates are in the city. I know how much people respect the masks and stuff around here. So it's like, I am definitely in a bubble of safety compared to Pokemon Go players and God knows where.
To Niantic's credit, and one of the reasons I think this sucks is that this change of them, we're going back to what it was made, I want to say months ago, theoretically it maybe only was weeks ago, but we reported on it in the show, and at the time it made sense. Vaccinations were way up. It seemed like we were turning the corner. Everything was going back to normal. It was before we were talking about all these variants, whether it be Delta or Lambda or whatever, right? And so I really feel like they made that announcement and said they were going to change this in the weeks ahead. And then in those weeks, the pandemic shifted and changed again. And it kind of went back to a, oh shit, what are we doing? How comfortable is anyone doing certain activities and things, right? Like for me personally, right? Like to removing Pokemon Go, which I occasionally turn on. When I'll be waiting for a cup of coffee or something, I'll turn it on and screw around. Or when we're walking and Jen's dragging me on these hikes, I'll look for something new. And I'll send Goldfarb a gift and he gets very excited.
Fucking Caterpie!
Yeah, I'm never excited for the Pokemon. I'm more excited for the new Pokestops when she's hiking me somewhere new. However, right, like at that time, it made sense in my head of like, oh, of course, turn this off, yada, yada. And now here we are, right, and with all the different variants and my wife being pregnant and her immune system being all fucked up, right? Like I am back in lockdown personally, where it's like, I am not going, like, you know, you know better than anybody, Sam. Like, I'm not going to Suicide Squad screener. I'm like, I'm not going. Like, I'm not going to the movies, right? Like, I don't know, you know, what it, I we haven't talked about it. This is us discussing kind of funny on the air, right? Like, Shang-Chi, like, I don't know if I'm a part of that in review because I don't know where we'll be and what's going to be happening and what the latest will be. And I can't risk my wife and my unborn child. So it's like Ghostbusters Afterlife. I don't know where it'll be in October or November, right? Like, and so I understand, like, again, now that things have shifted back to, like, I don't know. I mean, fucking, by the way, I meant to put this in housekeeping. I'm so sorry. Everybody go send Jared Pettilove, who, guess what, is vaccinated and has COVID. So, like, that's where we're at right now. And I have multiple friends, not local, but around the country, that are vaccinated and have COVID. So it's like, cool. Like, with that mindset now, I'm like, Niantic, don't be stupid. Dial it back and let it go. And that's what I think the normal – I think that's the easy fix here. But I also get – like, this is the push and pull of it all, right, where it is, hey, Niantic designed this game to be this, to be wandering and to be walking and yada, yada, yada. So when you make that announcement to go back, I'm sure they celebrated of like, cool, we're getting back to our vision of Pokemon Go. Then the world changes. But again, to your point, Tim, the world changes differently for everybody. Where it is this thing of like, well, yeah, you know, SF is pretty safe and is super safe. And I'm well aware that it's like very the percentile chances of catching COVID and being a breakthrough case and yada, yada, yada. But I mean, it is so much there.
That goes into it, though. I mean, your wife is pregnant. You have had cancer. It's like there's layers to this shit, right? Where it's just like everybody has to make their own personal decision. I think that it starts from a place of like, there is no decision to make. Like, you should be fucking getting vaccinated. We need to do this as a society. That's not in my opinion, that shouldn't be a choice. And it is. And that sucks. That's why we're where we're at right now. But I think that beyond that, it's like we get to this point where it's like, cool. Then there are choices to be made. Based on who you are, where you are, and like how your own personal levels of safety and shit that at that point is not about every other the people around you. It is just about the choices you are making. If you're vaccinated, if you're doing that right, then it's like then the levels of safety are going to be better for everybody across the freaking globe.
Yeah. So yeah, everything sucks. I feel for both Niantic, the player base, and everything. I'm with you that I think it's pretty clear of what you do here. You know, I don't know if you need to form a commission to do everything. Like, cool. The world's still fucked up. We'll go back to what it was during pandemic and where everybody was happy and you were still able to play the game you wanted to play and go take over a gym. But that's me and I'm not them. And I understand it's their game and their business. So they can go through it and the community can have their say and everybody can figure it out together. Because I do think Niantic is a company that, again, from the sidelines, I'm not in there. It does seem like a company that listens to its audience. So I imagine they will end up lessening the restrictions into a way that people can still enjoy the game during these uncertain times. And now, speaking of uncertain times, ladies and gentlemen, I always like to call this out, of course. You know, Alana, Khalif, and I do a show called Presence of Mind with Cloud9 and Kaiser Permanente, and I steal these two paragraphs from them all the time. If you're age 12 or older and haven't received a COVID vaccination, you can text your zip code to 438829 to find a free vaccine near you. In many locations, no appointment is needed, and you can even get a free ride there and back with Lyft and Uber. So everybody, like I said, number one, get vaccinated. Number two, go find Jared Petty on your social media of choice and tell him you love him. Give him a big old virtual hug as he struggles through COVID. But for now, I'll also tell you about number three on the Roper Report. Call of Duty's Among Us-like mode. This is Austin Goslin over at Polygon. Austin writes, Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War is getting an additional game mode for its new season. The mode is called Double Agent, and it's based on some Among Us-style deception, as shown in the trailer released on Thursday. Double Agent will feature 10 players who are each assigned a random role. The most important players are the Double Agents, who are tasked with either eliminating their fellow players or planting and detonating bombs across the map. Most players will play as operatives who have to discover the double agents and keep themselves alive. Finally, there is the investigator, who will get special clues to help them determine the double agents who can put out wanted orders on players they suspect have betrayed their allies. The mode will feature a variety of extra features, including weapons that players can collect throughout the early stages of the match and certain extra tools for the double agents to help give them a leg up on their agents or their targets. My apologies. The mode will also heavily use voice chat to help players identify who among them seems to be the most suspicious. Double Agent will be part of Call of Duty Black Ops Cold War Season 5 update, which is set to release August 12th. That sounds cool.
Yeah, that sounds very cool. It reminds me a lot of the Half-Life mod, Gary's mod, that we played at Achievement Hunter back in the day. I forget the name of the Trouble in something town, something like that. Someone in the chat, or you're wrong, you'll let Beantown. Me know. You know what I'm talking about. But that's just super cool. It's kind of like combining that the werewolf game with first person shooter, like with the popular community for multiplayer. It sounds awesome.
Trouble in really Terrorist cool. Town, the chat's sharing. Town.
Cool. Yeah, exactly. But anyways, very, very cool stuff. I love when games try to get creative with modes like this, because they don't always work, but when they do, it kind of turns into something special. And I think that, you know, Among Us is... We see these trends, right, where it's like, cool, Battle Royale. Like, I don't even need to go down the history of that. We know where that ended up. But, like, things like Among Us, things like Fall Guys, it's like, I love when there's these moments of, like, brilliance in video games, because then it's like, cool, 5 years from now, what other games are going to take those ideas and kind of add it to their repertoire and what they do? And, like, that creates even new game experiences. So, cool stuff.
Yeah, I like to see games learning from each other. And like you talked about with Gary's mod, like we really enjoyed playing that. But obviously to get this on a higher level out there to more people is a cool idea. But you might be saying at home, Call of Duty. Why am I? Well, I've heard of Call of Duty recently, right? Oh, right. Activision Blizzard sucks. Let's give you some updates on that. Number four, Coke and State Farm are reassessing if they want to be part of Overwatch League. This is Teddy Menenbar over at Washington Post. Coca-Cola and State Farm are reassessing partnerships with Activision Blizzard's Overwatch League, according to statements provided by both companies. The news comes 2 weeks after the state of California's Department of Fair Employment and Housing sued the video game giant over allegations of widespread harassment and discrimination against female employees at the company. Activision Blizzard runs the Overwatch League and the Call of Duty League, two esports ventures which organize competitions around those respective first-person shooter titles. Coca-Cola and State Farm are two of seven sponsors currently listed on the Overwatch League website. Brand deals with big companies bleed into all parts of the league's match day promotion production. They are sponsored player rankings powered by IBM, well-placed red Coca-Cola cups next to commentators and quick-rolling advertisements that run between the action in a match. The partnerships are a key way for the league and Activision Blizzard to bring in revenue alongside broadcasting rights and franchise fees. In two statements provided to the Post Thursday, a spokesperson for State Farm said the insurance provider is, quote, reevaluating our limited marketing relationship with the Overwatch League, and the company has requested that no advertisements run during the matches this weekend. State Farm first became a sponsor of the Overwatch League in 2019. A spokesperson for Coca-Cola said Wednesday that the company is aware of the allegations surrounding Activision Blizzard and that they've been closely monitoring the situation. We are working with our partners at Blizzard as we take a step back for a moment to revisit future plans and programs, the statement reads. Tim, Mm-hmm. Every time we talk about Activision Blizzard, and this is something we've talked about a lot lately, and you can even drop Ubisoft in there. You can talk anytime a company does something shitty to its employees that make the games and the art you love. It's always Gary Whitta saying, we got to hit him in the pocketbooks. That's the only way things will change and yada, yada, yada. However, I kind of feel when we talk about it all the time, right, that it goes, you could go take it into unionization, right, of getting big groups together. But it's also that idea of if you as a gamer say you're never going to get another Activision Blizzard game, right? That's $60, $70 out of their pocket. That's a drop in the bucket. It reminds me so much of when we talk about like pollution and energy and water conservation, right? Where it's like, you know, companies, or not companies, states, towns will tell you, okay, well, you know, we're on this flex plan for power. You know, don't water your grass on this day, yada, yada, yada. And we do that as a conscious individuals trying to make the world a better place, but in reality it's usually some fucking corporation that's doing all the polluting, taking all the energy, fucking everything up for people. And this is obviously painting with a broad brush, but you understand where I'm driving at and my point, right? This is what I think is, you know, the quickest way from A to B if you want actual, you know, ramifications from the lawsuit and from the shitty fucking actions being taken by leaders over at Activision Blizzard. This is the way to hit them in the pocketbook, is to have the actual sponsors who are putting the millions of dollars into their pocket actually put fear into the stake shareholders' hearts.
Yeah, I mean, Coca-Cola, that's State Farm. Like, we're talking about real, real, real sponsors with real money, the consistent money, partnerships. Like, it's not just a sponsorship, it's a partnership, right? Long term.
Yeah.
That kind of the league is entirely based on an understanding that it's bringing in X amount of revenue because of these partners. So yeah, this definitely is a way to hit them. This is such a complicated conversation. We've been having it, and we're going to continue to have it. I think I'm more in your boat than some of the other takes I've heard, because like I truly believe that like talking about it and having like making it this public deal is the thing that over time does actually create the most positive change, and this is the type of things that come from that. But yeah, this is I don't want to say it's crazy, like this makes sense, like this is how this happens when people do shitty things and then are called out, and that is talked about, and everyone's like, oh shit, that's shitty, I don't want to be associated with it.
Yeah,
that's how things should be. You shouldn't want to be associated with shitty people and shitty situations.
And the conversation we've had, you know, about this ongoing, always evolving, of course, and I've talked about it before, like, you know, we're always out here working with a net as we stumble through bigger issues and bigger ideas than anything else, right? There is this conversation Gary and I have had, and I've had probably a blessing on other shows, right? Of like the fact that we, the podcasters you're listening to right now, but you, the audience who are listening or watching this as well, right, are the minority. We talk about the mainstream, right, and how the stock price and all this other stuff, like, that's another world. We're talking about the world of Call of Duty gamers who have no idea what's actually happening in the video game industry because they just enjoy their game, and more power to them, you know what I mean? I watch a lot of movies, and I don't necessarily know every movie I watch what the behind-the-scenes story and the drama was, the director, the cast, yada, 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 let alone the production company. There's this audience there that doesn't know. So you talk about this mainstream audience that doesn't know what's happening, and also just the mainstream in general. But you are seeing cracks. I had one of my cousins, actually, I guess cousin-in-law. I don't know what you could call that, if that's a thing. But my cousin-in-law texted me last night and was just like, hey, man, good catching up. Your, you know, maternity photos are great. Also, what is this thing going to sink Activision Blizzard? And I assume he knows that because he's more interested in business, and they're finally seeing it reported on, I don't even know. I was going to say Mad Money, but I don't know if that's still a fucking stock show. You know what I mean? Like, in terms of like real news, and like it's breaking through to an echelon and an audience that isn't the same, right? Like, isn't us talking about how fucked up this is. It is actually getting mainstream coverage and actually picking up traction there, which again is stuff that leans on Coca-Cola, which is leans on State Farm, which then leans on Activision Blizzard, which then leans on the fucking shareholders to be like, get the fuck out of here, people who are garbage people.
Yeah. Absolutely. You know, everyone needs to handle this differently, but I think that as long as people are thinking about it and trying to do what their conscience tells them is the right step forward, I think that that goes a long way. Personally, I don't think that boycotting the video games themselves is the right answer, but if that's what you think, more power to you. And I do think that that sends a message. It's a different message than I'm sending, but it's all working towards the same place. I think that we need to spend less time critiquing how the levels and the ways that others are supporting, and just keep supporting. And just supporting people, supporting the way that they want to.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, that was a big thing for me personally, where before I caught this article today, you know, we talk about the song of like, you know, I've had this conversation, I know you have on the air as well, of like, well, what does Kind of Funny do about this? You know what I mean? Like, do we, you say boycott the games, which for the most part, I think I guess Andy and Nick make it would make it. I was gonna say it would be easy, right? If tomorrow I was like, I'm never playing an Activision Blizzard game again. Everybody like, Greg, you don't play any of those games. Like, what does it matter to you, right? But it's like, you know, oh, do we not talk about it in the air? Like, do we not, you know, go send people to preview events? Like, how do you do that? And like, what I've talked about before is, for me, it's about presenting the entire picture and talking about it and doing it. So what I'm driving at to get you back on track for Games Daily was, even with the Call of Duty story, I wanted to put in this, which is not a news story, but is in fact a required reading. If you didn't know, obviously Jason Schreier continued your great work over at Bloomberg. Jason put up an article today titled, Blizzard Turned Game Developers into Rock Stars, Misbehavior Followed. I'll read you the first three graphs from this and ask you then to go to Bloomberg and read the entire report, because it is fucked up, of course. One summer day in 2018, employees of the video game maker Blizzard Entertainment opened their email to find a brusque message from the chief executive officer, Mike Morhaime. It said the company parted ways with Ben Kilgore, the chief technology officer, and Morhaime's heir apparent. The email didn't give a reason, but employees immediately began to gossip. Kilgore presided over the most notorious group of sexist drinkers at the Irvine, California headquarters, where sexism and drinking were rampant, current and former employees said. Shortly afterward, they got a supposed explanation during a large staffing meeting. Derek Ingalls, now head of the technology department, was asked why his former boss had left. Ingalls told a brief story that concluded with a strange piece of advice. Quote, don't sleep with your assistant, but if you're going to sleep with your assistant, don't stop, end quote. Five people who attended the meeting, which hasn't been previously reported, recounted versions of that story in interviews with Bloomberg. Also in the room that day was a representative from Human Resources who stood silently by, they said. Ingall's comments led to a barrage of speculation surrounding Kilgore's departure that Bloomberg has not been able to verify. Regardless, a former Blizzard assistant said this sort of locker room banter was sexist and damaging to the careers of assistants and other women at the company. Fuck off. And like, Jason's amazing reporting goes on with this and all sorts of stories like this to really be like, shine a spotlight on what a bunch of fucked up people were working there and the atmosphere and the way it got off course and everything else goes there. So again, I think it's not about turning a blind eye to any of this. It's about elevating these kind of stories and reminding all of us that, you know, real people work on your games, and sometimes the people who are making the art you love are in incredibly shitty situations, but stick it out or get driven out because, of course, they're in a shitty situation they shouldn't have to put up with. Nobody should have to put up with stuff like this, and that's why we talk about it.
I've said this 15,000 times in the last couple of weeks, but I want to keep saying it because I think it's important. When you hear these things, whether it's this or the Fulbright stuff or any of these type of shitty situations, like, don't get defensive. No matter who you are, no matter what your background is, just try to take it in and listen, and don't like immediately try to turn it into what you don't agree with about the statement. Try to look at it and just be like, cool, be empathetic to their situation and just try to understand how to try to make things better. And like, that again is different for every single person, but all you can do is your best. And I feel like the more we hear these stories, as fucked up as they are, it's going to make a better future, because hopefully more and more, and we're seeing it, more and more people are reflecting and trying to make better choices moving forward.
Yeah, 100%. You nail it. Empathy. That's what we talk about all the time here, is being empathetic to one another and putting yourself in somebody else's shoes. And again, I think a lot of the reporting going on right now is excellent and can do just that. And you can sit there and be like, how would you feel if you were in that situation? And then go from there.
Mm-hmm.
For now, let's have a palate cleanser, everybody. I'll remind you, of course, about patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. It's what keeps the lights and the mics on. You can go over there to be part of the show. You can go over there to get the post show we do each and every weekday. And of course, you can go over there to get the show ad-free. And speaking of ads, Greg Way, here are today's sponsors.
This show is brought to you by DoorDash. Did you forget that one thing at the store? Well, now you can get the snacks, drinks, and household essentials that you need in 30 minutes with DoorDash. Get drinks, snacks, and other household items delivered in under an hour. Ordering is easy. Open the DoorDash app, choose what you want from where you want, and your items be left safely outside your door with the contactless delivery drop-off setting. For a limited time, our listeners can get 25% off and zero delivery fees on their first order of $15 or more when you download the DoorDash app and enter code GAMES2021. For our Canadian listeners, use code GAMESCA. That's 25% off up to $10 in value and zero delivery fees on your first order when you download the DoorDash app in the App Store and enter code GAMES2021 in the US and GAMESCA in Canada. Don't forget, that's code GAMES2021 or GAMESCA for 25% off your first order with DoorDash. Subject to change, terms apply. We're also brought to you by Honey. We all shop online and we've all seen that promo code Fieldtonus at checkout. But thanks to Honey, manually searching for coupon codes is a thing of the past. Honey is the free shopping tool that scours the internet for promo codes and applies the best one it finds to your cart. Imagine you're shopping one of your favorite sites. When you check out, the Honey button drops down and all you have to do is click apply coupons. Wait a few seconds as Honey searches for the coupons it can find for that site. If Honey finds a working coupon, you'll watch the prices drop. Kind of Funny loves Honey. Tim tells you all the time that you should click that dang Honey button. It saved us a ton of money shopping online, and it can save you money too. Honey has found its over 17 million members over $2 billion in savings. If you don't already have Honey, you could be straight up missing out on free savings. Get Honey for free at joinhoney.com/games. That's joinhoney.com/games.
One.
And we're back. Number five on the Roper Report. PUBG's got a brand new name, and it's kind of dumb when you think about it. We're going to GameSpot where Darren, our friend, is reporting. PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds officially has a new name, which is still the same name but different, as Krafton has rechristened the Battle Royale game to PUBG Battlegrounds. If you ignore the acronym title that the game has commonly been referred to since it launched several years ago, that means that PUBG Battlegrounds essentially stands for PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds Battlegrounds. As spotted by PC Gamer, the name change took place in July, with the PlayerUnknown portion of the title being essentially buried on Steam in favor of the PUBG title. Now playing PUBG's, this is the video review, I didn't copy it. Quote, Krafton is actively expanding the PUBG brand through a variety of new experiences set in its universe, a PR representative said to PC Gamer. Quote, rebranding PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds to PUBG Battlegrounds is the first step in us realizing this vision. Additional titles in the franchise will carry the PUBG name, as you will see with our upcoming game, PUBG New State.
Cool.
Tim, this is totally one of those of like, in the moment, we're all going to eye roll and laugh at it, and then it won't make, nobody's going to care.
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny, it's silly, but I also, from a branding perspective, I get it. Like,
totally.
Branding is hard, and sometimes you just need to, okay, look, Greg, I'm going to take you back, okay, a little journey to 8 years ago, which is
take
crazy.
Take me back
to
think 8 years about. Ago, please. I love going back that far.
2013, all right, Grand Theft Auto 5 comes out. Me and you. Little boys at IGN.
Yeah.
And we're learning, we're looking at all this SEO, we're trying to figure out stuff. And we learned that despite the game being called Grand Theft Auto V, Roman numeral 5, it's like, mm-hmm. no, people are searching for Grand Theft Auto 5. So, mm-hmm. or GTA 5, to be more specific. So it's like, you need to kind of learn these things. And at some point, you got to just kind of be like, all right, this is what the people are saying, so we just got to go with it. So with this, I bet you there's a ton of people that would just call it like Battlegrounds or PUBG Battlegrounds. And like, it's dumb, doesn't make sense, but it makes sense to the people. And at the end of the day, the people are what matter. So
it's what we're talking about, right? Where it's like, yeah, you're talking about SEO. You're talking mm-hmm. about how people actually refer to call your game and do anything. Of course, over at GameSpot, Darren goes on, and I like his next paragraph. The move kind of makes sense given how Krafton is busy developing its own metaverse with PUBG Universe games, such as the survival horror, the Callisto Protocol from the creators of Dead Space, which is set several centuries in the future of that universe. There's also PUBG New State, a battle royale for mobile devices that is still scheduled to be released later this year, which has a slightly futuristic setting as well. On top of that, Castlevania's Adi Shankar is busy developing an animated series as well. So it's exactly what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. People already search for PUBG. So now that you're searching for PUBG, you don't want to lose PUBG when you call, there's a good chance Callisto Protocol is going to be called PUBG Callisto Protocol, right? Because when you search PUBG, you're probably looking for this game, but they want to show you their other games that they're selling.
Yep. It's about understanding. It's just about understanding what you are trying to get from your search. So them, especially having multiple games in the universe, makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, 100%. Number six. Sad, depending on who you are, maybe. The Evil Dead game has been delayed. This is from the Evil Dead game Twitter. The Evil Dead, the game, will be releasing in February 2022. Hey, Groovy Gamers, we're targeting a new release date to give the team some extra time for polish and to ensure this is the ultimate Evil Dead experience you're waiting for. This additional time is also allowing us to implement a single-player option that will let you enjoy the game when you are without your co-op compadres. There you go. Tim, I know you're big on Evil Dead. You can't wait for this, right?
Mm-hmm. That's not true at all. But I'm happy this game's happening, and yeah, delays are going to keep
going
on.
It's such a weird one. Don't get me wrong. Everybody should enjoy whatever they enjoy. I'm not trying to say that, blah, blah, blah. It's just like Evil Dead. Huh, okay.
I mean, you know what I mean? That's Friday the 13th. Huh, okay.
You like, bite your fucking tongue. All right.
It's the same thing. It's like it has a very, very, very dedicated group of people. Predator, same thing. It's like yeah, they're very big deals to big groups of people. Like groups of people that are big enough to make these video games. To sustain the video games, I don't know. We've seen that not really work out for Friday the 13th or Predator long term, but sometimes long term isn't necessary. People can just have fun for a year. You know what I mean? Like that needs to be okay.
I agree. Oh my God, totally. No, not everything needs to be a 14-year experience or whatever, right?
Yeah.
In the chat over here, it moved. It's gone, but somebody was calling for Evil Dead in review, Tim. When, you coward?
I mean, at some point, probably.
But come on. Is that worth it? Two of the movies are the same movie.
I've never seen any, so I don't know.
Right? One and two are like, he's like, oh, I have a bigger budget. I can do this better.
I saw Army of Darkness. I think I've seen.
Funny movie.
I've seen Evil Dead clips and stuff. You know, for me, it was Sam Raimi. Didn't exist, really, until he made Spider-Man. One, two, which are great movies. Don't listen to Tim. Don't listen to the Spider-Man in review crew.
All right, you forgot about number three.
That's not a great movie. Spider-Man 3 is awful. Terrible. Horrible. Tim, where the fuck is the Spider-Man No Way Home trailer? Well, I got you here.
It's everything we just spent the last fucking 40 minutes talking about. It's just like Sony. Okay, let me say this briefly. Spider-Man No Way Home is the first movie to have the potential to cross a billion in a post-pandemic, in air quotes, world. So, in a pandemic world. So we've had the reality of Fast 9 coming out, but that was way too early for the thing, and it got messed up with like the international releases as well. But Spider-Man, what's up, Kev?
I was saying Fast 9, so sad that it made like not a lot of money, you know?
Well, it's making a lot of money. I mean, it's breaking records for the pandemic world, but it's not crossing a billion.
Yeah, it's exact, but like it should have. In any normal world, it would have.
It would have 100%. Yeah, but so this Spider-Man definitely would cross a billion in a normal world. So I think that they're both Disney and Sony are looking at this like, yo, we gotta be smart about it. Like I think we'll know a lot more in the next month because of Shang-Chi, but I think more importantly, Venom. On the Sony side of if it keeps its September 23rd date. But we do also have, what's it called? CinemaCon. CinemaScape? Cinema? Some big E3 type event for movies and shit that's coming in a couple weeks, and Sony has a 3-hour presentation during it. So what the fuck else would they be talking about? Like, they do have some things, but like, all eyes are on that for... If a trailer were to drop, will we see that trailer or will it just be behind closed doors there? We just get to read a synopsis. That's another question.
The chat's confusing me. Do people like Spider-Man 3? Are there this many people like everything?
Greg, here's what we need. Here's what we need to learn.
Weenie Worm says Spider-Man 3 greater than Far From Home.
They're kids with bad taste. You know what I mean? Like, I'll say it. Weenie from whatever has got terrible taste. Yeah, okay. Weenie from Worm.
Okay, no, there's a lot of people saying no. Okay.
It's a really bad movie and
horrible movie.
But like, here's the thing: there's a lot of people that are like, "Oh, Spider-Man 2 is the best Spider-Man movie that's ever happened," and it's just objectively not. You know,
also true. I'm with you, Kevin. I'm saying.
Yeah, no, I know that you agree with me.
I'm saying that's not correct.
Yeah. Sure, but it's not the best. There's been so much better.
No, I'm agreeing with you.
I know you're agreeing with me, and I'm agreeing with you. God, if we could hug right now, it'd be great.
God, can you imagine how nice would that be?
But yeah. COVID, you know what I mean?
Fucking sucks, dude.
Sucks.
One day you and I will be able to get within 40 meters of the same Pokestop. Don't worry. Number 7 on the Roper Report and final. This is just a tidbit for you. Streamline Media Group announced gaming industry veteran Sean Layden has joined its advisory board. Layden will advise the company on its overall global strategy for video games and enterprise. If you're like me and had no idea what Streamline Media Group is, let me tell you, one of the most frustrating press releases I've ever read in my fucking life. Like, it just does. Usually at the end, they're like, about Streamline Media. They didn't do that. So then I had to go to Streamline Media's website. More buzzwords and shit. I had to drill into, drove me crazy. I guess they have some fucking development thing that kind of helps some video games, I guess. And then they also, but they're multimedia. They do a whole bunch of shit. I don't fucking know. But Sean's over there advising.
Yeah, yesterday I had a similar situation where I forget the name of the company now, but they acquired .emu, the Streets of Rage 4.
Oh, yeah, people, yeah, yeah.
Which I thought was .emu. It's not. It's .emu, Greg. You can learn .emu. That. You can learn that. But yeah, then I was like looking into who these people were. And it like I was like, there's Googling. This did not clarify anything for me. Their Wikipedia sucks. Their website sucks. So, yeah.
Because it opens with a thing. So I'm on the email here, right? Streamline Media. Welcome to Streamline Media, Sean Layden. Then there's a letter from Sean talking about, like, you know, his career coming here. But, like, it's all, like, this is Sean Layden. By aligning with Streamline and its proven record of success and innovation, I believe we can all be part of creating what I call this third epoch of gaming. I'm saying that wrong. But, like, then you go to the actual press release, right? And it's just like, what the fuck is going on? Layden was about him, sure. We are on our side of Sean on the board. With 30 years experience, the alignment poised to accelerate the digital transformation of the business, creativity, and consumer engagement as Layden and Fernandez reflect on their People Plus strategy article design. It's like, what are you talking about? This announcement comes on the heels of Streamline's global expansion into the Americas. With like, what do you do? With diversity and representation at its core, Streamline is actively recruiting applicants to support the industry's growth while also transforming traditional businesses through the implementation of video game technology. What do you fucking create? What do you do, Streamline Media?
I pay Sean Layden money to be on a board.
And it's like, I get that you do multiple things, I guess, right? Because you go, like, I go to their website and it's like entertainment and enterprise video games. Okay. And I click on About Us. This is where it should be fixed, right? Streamline was founded in 2001 by the Netherlands. Let me try this again. Streamline was founded in 2001 in the Netherlands by four young, passionate gamers with a gift for modding and developing original games. Okay, so you make games. 20 years later, Streamline has weathered the digital transformation, economic crisis, and the global pandemic. Since our first project, Gunman Chronicles, we've established strong relationships with AAA developers, publishers, and brands across entertainment and enterprise industries. Streamline is now five brands with over 180 people across three continents.
Sounds streamlined to me.
We've evolved into a company that bridges media, entertainment, technology, and enterprise with video game technology and methodology. We continue to seek out like-minded creatives and innovators to collaborate with us as we love playing games and we love working in and developing new tools and technologies to build them. Our philosophy has always been to create fair relationships that grow value for everyone involved with respect to do you make video games? Do you make the tools to make video games? Are you, you're bridging media. So are you a media company? Do you have a website? You entertainment. So is it movies and TV as well? Technology's on its own. So are you making what?
They're going to rebrand soon. It's going to be Streamline Media, Streamline Games, Streamline Media, Streamline Game Tools, Streamline Media, Streamline.
And then whatever. It's my favorite of like you Streamline go to
Battlegrounds.
Let's click on the portfolio for Streamline Media, right? Little Nightmares 2. Oh, you okay? Oddworld Soulstorm. Cool. I will click on Oddworld Soulstorm and that'll tell me what you did. No, it is a larger image of Oddworld Soulstorm.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Lauren Landing and his Oddworld team made the game, but you made one of the.
They just streamlined it.
You did a technology, like, did they use your engine for it? Did you help them do PR for it? Did you consult them? Oh, Outriders is here too. I click on Outriders. Oh, image 19 could not be found actually when I click on your website. Sounds like somebody needs to streamline this media tool. Congratulations, Sean Layden. If you're going to, now Streamline Media, next time you send a fucking press release, put in about Streamline Media, streamline it so I understand what the fuck this is.
I wonder what a shirt Sean Layden's wearing. You think he still wears that Crash Bandicoot shirt every once in a while?
Fucking hope so. You know what I mean?
He knew all along.
He did.
Tim, I'm excited to get a press release from Streamline Media explaining what the fuck they do. But that's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, say what came to the mom and grop shops, where would I go?
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform is listed by the Kinda Funny Games Daily Show hosts each and every weekday.
Yeah. Out today, Go Runes on Xbox One, Bless Unleashed on PC, Life Slide on PC, Castle of the Pixel Skulls on Switch, Racetrack Driver on Switch, The Last Survey on Switch, Badland Game of the Year Edition on Switch, Zengin, like Dungeon, but Zengin, Switch, Bone Marrow, Switch, Skater XL Multiplayer Update now available on PS4, Xbox, and PC. And then Alta Rays is out now on Steam. New dates for you. Obeki Doru. Updated version is coming to Nintendo Switch on August 12th. Suganoi is coming to Steam on August 13th. Parasite is coming to Steam August 17th. Tim, we ask people watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/wrong. Tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, and listening to podcast services around the globe. Today, pitched a perfect game. The only thing we had in there worth calling out is that a couple of people wrote in that while we were live, Psychonauts, or I guess Double Fine said Psychonauts 2 has gone gold. So
cool. Psychonauts
has gone gold. You have your information. That game is really happening. Xbox Gamecast, day and date. Enjoy, everyone. Oh, yeah. Remember, ladies and gentlemen, the show is ending, but it isn't really. You can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to get the post show Tim and I are going to do. If that's not your jam, you can hang out right here on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. Mike and crew will be playing some Fortnite, maybe some Grounded. If you said, oh man, I'm in my car right now driving, honk your horn twice, beep, beep. And then remember that you can go to youtube.com/kindoffunnyplays, our newest YouTube channel, and you can get all the archives of Mike's streams over there. If you said, that's great, but I'm more excited about what's coming at Kind of Funny Games Daily next week, let me run you through it. Monday, Tim and Janet are hosting. Tuesday, Greg and Gary are hosting. Wednesday, Blessing and someone is hosting. I would assume it's going to be Janet as well, but I will ask Blessing if he wants to get anybody else in there. But I haven't talked to Janet. She's on vacation, so it's like I can't really book somebody in there. I'll see what Blessing wants. He can shake it up. Thursday.
I do know, and this gets complicated, but I'm just throwing this out there. Paris wants to do the show with Tam.
Yeah, here's the best thing about Paris Lily, all right? And yeah. I hope this motherfucker is in the chat watching live right now. Paris Lily always does that. Oh, I'd love to do that. He has a better voice. I'm trying to do my Paris voice, but I can't do it because Paris goes, oh, I'd love to do that. God, he's got such a good voice. But he's like, I'd love to be on the show with anybody or whatever. Every time I hit him up, he's like, oh, well, I got a meeting that day. And I think, honestly, Wednesdays, I think, are his meeting day for this job that I keep telling him.
Fucking job.
Just tell me how much money you need. We will steal it from you. Will it be enough to support a family of, I don't know, he's got a wife and at least one tall child. I don't know how many other, I think there's maybe two.
Tall child,
there's maybe two boys. I'm not sure. But it's like, will it be enough to support them comfortably? Of course not. But you'll be able to do whatever you want with us all the time. And isn't the free time in video games more worth that than whatever? You know what I mean? These kids are definitely old enough to get jobs. That's my thing. Have them start pulling their weight. You know what I mean? We can start. Tim, you're a great schemer. Scheme for scholarships for him. You know what I mean?
Scheming for scholarships. I love it. The branding's there, Greg.
It's a good show there. You know what I mean? But anyways, Paris has always got some excuse, and I believe Wednesdays is his big time excuse day. But I'll look into it because, again, I'm always like, he's like, oh, me and Khalif should host. I'm like, yes, you should. What about this day? He's like, oh, I got a meeting. And I'm like, you know what? I'm done trying.
Meet this, Paris.
Yeah, meet this. Thursday, Blessing and Tam. Friday, Blessing and me with Blessing hosting. Like I said, if you're watching this right now, live, get ready for some Fortnite. I believe Joey Noel is showing up. Is she going to play as Ariana Grande? I don't know. I would assume she bought that skin.
Oh, Joey is fucking stoked about that. I don't know if she's doing that right now, but like she is. I don't think she's ever messaged me more about one thing than this.
She's
Ariana
definitely
Grande
she bought
situation.
The skin. She bought the skin. Good. I'm feeling good because I haven't bought the skin, and like my squad is running with the skin.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
What level are you at Fortnite right now?
101, baby.
God, I love how much you all love Fortnite. I love it so much, Kevin. I also, and I don't think I've told this story on camera. You can stop me if I want. It was post E3, right? Yeah, where we were like, hey, you know what? Everybody killed at E3. We want to help out. Well, we want to give you some kind of reward. Obviously, take the days off. You work too much. We will buy you a video game of your choice. At the time, I was like, a lot of people are going to want Mario Golf, I know. Kevin slacks me. He's like, so instead of buying Mario Golf or a video game, can I just get it in V-Bucks? And I was like,
hell,
yes, you can, Kevin. I'm proud of you.
Still waiting.
That's
for
amazing,
that.
Kevin.
I was like, you know what game I want? I want NBA 2K22 on the PlayStation 5. So that's $70. So yeah, that in V-Bucks.
Well, the thing is, it's you can either get it in like $60 or $80. And I just feel like, you know, I mean, why, if we're there, you know?
Kevin, you have my permission to do 80, and if Tim and Nick vote me down, I'll pay the ten bucks out of pocket. I don't care.
All right, I'm gonna repeat that to Joey. Just a heads up, so it's definitely gonna be both of us.
You guys work too hard. I don't mind. Don't worry about it. I'll put 20
all
bucks.
All right, heads up. Talking about the coldest water.
Hold on. Before you go, though, this is the information I do need from you. How many weeks from Superman are we? Because that was the thing. Remember this? Oh, I'm going to have Superman this thing. And I was like, yeah. And then they're like, it's going to be in 75 days. And I was like, I'm not going to keep my
four
eye
on fucking days,
no
my
shit,
guy.
Really?
Four you, days. Quattro.
So now my next question for you, Kevin. Oh, you actually, are you doing the post show or are you going off of this?
I'm off of this. I'm on
okay,
Fortnite.
You have to answer this on the live show. I'm sorry, everybody. My next question for you, Kevin, is Do you understand how to get him? Because they changed how they get rewards this season, and I haven't played this season, so I need somebody to tell me.
Yeah, so what you're going to have to do is collect levels, probably. You'll get stars, 5 for each level that you level up. Okay. So you're going to be in a great position because
yeah,
it's going to be really easy for you to level up and get a fuck ton of stars. So yeah, yeah. Unless they change it. So like it might be different for Superman. We'll see.
Superman.
Before we get to the post show, Kev, can you bring up what I just sent to assets?
Oh, Corey
Cudney.
Let's see what you got, bud.
Has heard the call.
I love Friday shows, you know?
I know, man.
This is when we let our hair down. I really feel like we're streamlined mediating it right now.
Just so
you know, we're everything. We're Twitter, we're YouTube. I don't want to look at it until it's up full. Let it full screen it, then let me watch.
Hold on. There's two steps involved still. Turn this off.
Don't worry about it.
Turn it. To one on. All right, great. There we go. A little inception there. All right, here we go. Ready?
Yeah. When I drink the iced coffee, I'm a madman. I am the electricity gremlin in Gremlins 2 that Billy uses through the phone to electrocute all the gremlins at the end of Gremlins 2. I'm sorry for the Gremlins 2 spoilers. Electricity Greg you have shooting through all the other gremlins. All right. When I drink the iced coffee, I'm a madman. I love you. I love you so much. Thank you for that.
We didn't say it at the top of the show, but happy 35th birthday to Metroid, baby. There's a new Metroid Dread trailer that came out. It looks awesome. A lot of lore stuff going on. It's getting me all tingly and excited, Greg.
Ladies and gentlemen, I hope we made you tingly and excited. Remember, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to be part of the show, support the show, get the post show we're about to do. But if not, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, podcast services around the world. No matter where you get the show, thank you for your support. I hope you have a great weekend. And remember, until next time, it's been our pleasure to serve you.